Tomorrow night, the World Series moves from Boston's Fenway Park, which is nearly a century old, to Coors Field in Denver, which opened in 1995. Two ballparks with a very different look and feel. And we've asked Nate Silver of the baseball think tank called Baseball Prospectus to join us to talk about the unique characteristics of those two stadiums. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you, Melissa.
And let's start with Fenway Park. The World Series started there. What are its most distinctive features and how they affect play?
Well, certainly the Green Monster in left field, which is a 40-foot-high wall, which is really very close in compared to any other, you know, fences in baseball. The Red Sox always need, you know, right-handed hitters who can hit, you know, the ball off the monster. On the other hand, left-handed pitchers tend to get in a lot of trouble at Fenway Park.
And also nooks and crannies along the lines that players who are used to playing in that park would know how to manipulate, would know how to work around.
You know, every part of that ballpark has a different corner or a different carom. It takes some practice to become a left fielder, especially in Boston, but really an outfielder anywhere in Fenway Park. And that's one reason why there is a home field advantage. They know the bounces where the opposing team won't.
And another feature has nothing to do with the ballpark itself, but that would be the Boston fans within Fenway Park have got to be a factor to contend with, too.
Of course. These old stadiums, the fans are really right on top of you. And that's different from the new stadiums. No matter how nice they might be, there's a lot of room reserved for, you know, luxury suites and the press box. So you don't have the same impression of fans literally being on top of you, and there's probably not quite the same intimidation, I would say.
Right. Well, now the game's moved to Coors Field in Denver, and the key there, of course, high altitude, 5,277 feet above sea level.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, pretty simple physics. A ball's going to travel a lot farther in air that's that, you know, high altitude. They kind of push the dimensions back to try and compensate for the home run ball. And what happens is you still have quite a few home runs that are hit, but you also have more space in the outfield, so there are more base hits, too. If there's kind of more space per outfielder, it's easier to kind of hit a ball where they ain't, so to speak. So It has toned down a little bit in recent years. They started storing their baseballs in a humidor, and now instead of increasing run scoring by 60% like it used to, Coors Field is more like 20%. So it's still a good hitter's park, but it's not an extreme hitter's park like it had been, you know, maybe 5 or 6 years ago. And it's given the Rockies more of a fair shake.
The other thing you hear about Coors Field is the huge outfield. And tell me if this makes sense. One of the players talking about the Rockies are used to playing in the outfield and being able to sort of run back without looking at the ball. That's something they've gotten really used to doing that the other team might not do as well.
Well, yeah, one thing the Rockies have really figured out is that, you know, you have so much acreage there, you have to have good outfielders to cover it. So a good outfielder can play a little bit shallower because they have more speed and range, but also because they know the ball is going to carry a little bit farther in Coors Field.
How does that altitude affect pitching?
You know, the altitude affects the break of a curveball, for example, more than it would a fastball. So the Rockies have had most success with guys who rely mostly on fastballs and changeups, so you maybe change speed instead of rely so much on breaking pitches. But it's tough for any pitcher, but the Rockies have gotten better and better about identifying guys that, you know, number one, have the right repertoire as far as fastball versus curveball, what they throw, and number two, have the mentality to understand that you're going to have a few bad innings there here and again. You have to kind of realize it's not entirely your fault. It's tough for any pitcher right there, so you have to kind of get back on your horse and do the same thing the next inning.
Well, the Rockies had a lot of trouble in Fenway Park. They lost the first two games. What do you think it looks like for the games coming up in Coors Field?
Well, I mean, there is a big home field advantage. The Red Sox, I don't think, have ever, you know, played in Fenway before, or excuse me, in Coors. So, you know, but still, with two games in hand, and the Red Sox are a really tough baseball club. So I think the Rockies are really under a lot of pressure to win at least two out of three, and maybe all three games. Because even in the best case, if they win three, they still have to go back to Fenway Park and take one there, which isn't going to be easy.
Nate Silver is Executive Vice President of Baseball Prospectus in Chicago. Mr. Silver, thanks very much.
Yeah, thank you, Melissa.